If you guys have, if any of you have babies or toddlers, we do have a nursery upstairs with our childcare team. If there are any school-aged children in here, grade K to 7, you can meet Joe in the back for your program today. High schoolers, you guys are staying in service, unless you want to hang with the kids. But there is no youth class today. So, well, welcome to church. My name is Vincent. If we haven't met yet, I'm one of the pastors here. I normally hang with the young people, so I'm not on stage that often, except you might see a little bit more of me once Pastor Elise goes on mat leave pretty soon. But today we are continuing our sermon series on vision and core values. And so Pastor Andy started this off earlier this month. He kicked it off with sort of like a vision cast and our new vision book. If you guys don't have one of these, make sure you guys pick one up in the back table. It is available in two languages, English and Chinese. But he kicked us off a couple of weeks ago. Last week, Pastor Lee started off with our first core value on relational hospitality and how we need to be present, invite people in, meet people's needs where possible. And so today we're looking at our second core value, intentional generosity. And what does that mean? What does that look like? How can you be intentionally generous at and through Home Church? And so today's message is grounded in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30, which some of you guys may know this story. It's the parables of the bags of coins. Now, what is a parable? A parable is really just a simple story that illustrates a spiritual lesson or a moral as told by Jesus. And so today, instead of reading the parable of the bags of gold, I'm going to paraphrase the story for us. And so there was there was this wealthy man, and he had some stuff he had to tend to. He had to leave for a period of time. And so before he left, he calls his servants over to entrust some of his wealth. And he gave the servants these bags of coins based on their ability. And so for the first servant, he gave him five bags of gold. Give this up. Okay. Then when he calls the second servant over, he gives him two bags of gold. And to the very last servant, he gives him one bag of gold. And so the man left for a very long time, and once his business was done, he came home and he called his servants over to just sort of settle their accounts. And so the first servant, when he came up to him and said, "Hey, look, master, you gave me five bags of coins, and guess what? I made five bags of coins back." No, and the master says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Then he met with the second servant. Well, the good faithful servant, I will put you in charge of many things. Then he went to the second servant, and the second servant said, "Look, master, you gave me two bags of coins, and I also made two bags of coins." The master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, I will put you in charge of many things." Then the last servant came and said, you know, who got one bag of gold and said, "You know, master, I know you are a hard-working man, but I was scared. And so I took the bag, and I dug in the ground and buried it." You know, and the master said, "Well, you lazy and wicked servant. You could have taken the one bag of gold and put it in the bank and, you know, at least earn some interest, right?" And so then the master went and proceeded and took the one bag of coin and gave it to the one that has 10 already. And as we read in verse 29, it says, "For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them." So what is intentional generosity? How does this parable explain our core value? Now let me read from the short write-up that we have in our vision book on this value. And it says, let me flip to the page. And it says this, for under intentional generosity, that every person has a purpose, found in Jesus and expressed through making a meaningful difference in the world. At Home Church, we are intentional about empowering people in their journey with God so they can fully live out the purpose in Christ. This includes creating ministry opportunities, offering skill development, and providing prayerful support as individuals seek discernment, clarity, and confidence in the unique calling Jesus has placed on their lives. We are not a consumer church or a Sunday-centric church. And here's the most important line, I think, in this value. We are a church committed to generosity with our time, talents, and treasures, developing each person's call to serve the needs of our church, neighborhood, city, and world. So if you are following along today in our sermon notes, you might have received it on your way in. Our very first point today and our very first blank is time. Being faithful with opportunities. You see, in verse 19, it says the master had left for a long time. Now, we don't know how long it was. You know, it could have been, hopefully not just a few days, but it could have been a few days, could have been a few weeks, could have been a few months, or even a few years, right? We don't know how long he had left the servants. But what we do know is that the servant had this window of opportunity to steward what was entrusted to them before his return. Now, there was time to do something with the money. So imagine if you were given $50,000 or $20,000 or $10,000, you know, by your boss, by my boss, or your parents, you know, and then leave for this trip around the world for a couple of years, right? What would you do with that money during this time? Now, would you invest in it? You know, make as much money as you can? Would you take the money and start a business? Or would you put it in your bedroom safe to ensure that you won't lose any of it? What I'm trying to say here is that there's a parallel between the parable we just read and our lives. You see, just like how the servant had a limited amount of time to make the most of whatever opportunities they can, we also have a limited amount of time on earth to make the greatest number of opportunities possible. See, just like how the servant's master was there, then he left, then he came back, Jesus was also here on earth, then left through the resurrection with a promise to return one day. And so we are like the servant in this parable right now. You see, we have been given this time. What are we going to do with this time? You know, are we going to be like the first two servants, you know, or are we going to be like the last servant? How are we going to be faithful with the opportunities that are going to present themselves to us in the coming weeks, the coming months, the coming years? Now, if you were to think about, you know, the last, let's just say the past year or two, who have you been most likely? You know, have you been most likely the first two servants, or have you been most likely like the last servant? You know, perhaps we can use Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, 16 as our reminder. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. You know, it's telling us, you know, be wise and make the most of your time here, you know, because the days are evil. Not that it's actually evil, but what it really means is that each day is filled with temptations that will draw us away from what is important, which is kingdom business. You know, yes, we have jobs, we have families to take care of, we have extracurricular activities, and that's, you know, that's totally fine. You know, we have families to take care of, we need to take a break from work and observe Sabbath, you know, that's important. You know, we need to take time for family, that's important. You know, we need to take time for self-care, that's important. You know, doing those things is not a waste of time, but if an opportunity presents itself for you to help further the kingdom of God, and you have time for it, how likely would you be one of the first two servants and invest your time? Or would you be like the last servant and turn a blind eye to the opportunity? Now, some of these opportunities are not really as time-consuming or complex as you think. You see, you can be intentionally generous with your time through relationships, right? You know, connect with someone that you haven't talked to in a long time, right? Meet up meet up with them for coffee or dinner. You can have meaningful conversations at home group, at church. And you can come a little bit earlier during the lobby time, the foyer, before service to connect with people. You can be intentionally generous with time on Sunday mornings. You can serve in various areas like the worship team or the hospitality team or be part of our new next-gen teaching rotation. Shameless plug there, which if you're interested, come talk to me after the service. You know, or you can serve and be intentionally generous with time with one of our outreach or missional events or activities. And we actually have a huge lineup when you actually think about it or when I actually put it down on paper. You know, in a couple of weeks in October, we have our pumpkin patch coming up. Great area to serve. In November, we have our Operation Christmas Child Shoebox campaign. You know, if you want to be part of the collection week or even just pack a box, you can be a part of that. Be generous with the time. In December, we have Christmas at Home Church. We have a choir. We have a neighborhood candlelight service that you can be an opportunity for you to be intentionally generous. In January, we start registration for our summer's missions trip. You know, how about being generous with your time with missions in 2026? You know, is this an opportunity that God's calling you to be a part of? In February, we potentially have a new local outreach event that I can't tell you about because I'm still waiting for approval from a private foundation. But we could be joining over 800 churches around the world to reach an important unreached people group in our local communities. And in April, we have our Easter family brunch. So we have opportunities here at Home Church to be intentionally generous with their time, opportunities to be faithful. Being intentionally generous with your time at Home Church means that you're willing to spend time to help share the story of hope in whatever manner God is calling you. Time is a gift to be invested, not to waste. The second point is talents. Using our gifts and abilities. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to attend a conference called Business as Mission. All right, and they had at this conference they had this competition called Eagle's Nest. And so Eagle's Nest is similar to a business reality TV show some of you guys may have seen called Shark Tank or Dragon's Den. All right, so it's Shark Tank and Dragon's Den is where entrepreneurs pitches for funding from investors to support their business. But Eagle's Nest was designed for Christian businesses, pitching for funding from a faith-based business incubator. And so here I was sitting in the crowd, listening to these pitches, to three Christian business pitch what they do and why they need the money. And after the judges, afterwards, the judges would then confer and make their decision on who won. But before they announced their winner, they would give feedback to these businesses. And so one of these businesses that started a coffee shop, they're based in Egypt, and they had started a coffee shop, and they every day selling coffee, but they would do these social events, inviting people in, mainly non-Christians in, and they would do social events and bring people together. And so the more people you bring in, the more chances you can tell people about Jesus. That was sort of their premise with their business. And so I sat there listening, and I thought, man, they're going to be the winners for sure, right? Until the judges said this one line that resulted in me going through this paradigm shift on understanding how we are to use our God-given talents and abilities. See, this business didn't actually win. They actually came in last place of the three. They were not successful in winning the funding because the judges did not feel that the business was making any kingdom impact. Kingdom impact. See, we must understand that God did not create each of us with the same set of skills and abilities, same set of passion, same set of experiences, expectations, responsibilities. God has uniquely created everyone here, gifted you, with your own skills, passions, and opportunities. And that's important because in the parable that I did not read, I paraphrased, but in verse 15, the master, it says, gave to each servant the number of the bags according to their abilities. That's why in this parable we saw five, or we read five, two, and one bag of coin. Because when you think about it, you can do 5-5-5, 2-2-2, 1-1-1, and still reach the same conclusion. You can still have the same moral. You can still have the same illustration. But I believe God intentionally used, you know, three different numbers to represent how he gives each of us here a different set of gifts and abilities. See, the parable is not about how much money one person can make or how little the last servant made. No, it's not about the quantity or the rate of success or the return on investments, but rather the focus is on, you know, what did they do with the money? You know, what would we do with the gifts and abilities that we are given? You know, are we using our gifts and abilities for kingdom impact? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, use whatever gifts you have received to serve others. And so here at Home Church, when we say, you know, we value intentional generosity through our talents, what we mean is that we are unselfishly and intentionally finding ways to serve the church, in the church, from the church, outside of the church, you know, to each other, to people walking by, to visitors coming in to the church, to our neighbors at our neighborhood events, to our small groups, our youth groups, our home groups. Intentional generosity through our talents is when we discover what God has given us, has gifted us, and see how we can make kingdom impact with no agenda and no hidden strings. So if you know how to balloon twist or face paint or cook hot dogs or manage lineups, talk to guests, come sign up for to help at the pumpkin patch. If you know how to sing, sign up with Anik for the Christmas choir. You know, if you know how to love people through action and service and not words, you know, join our missions team or be a part of Operation Christmas Child. You know, that's all stuff that you can do without needing to know another language. If you know how to teach, again, join the Next Gen Sunday teaching rotation. Come talk to me after the service. But let's also not ignore the fact that every servant in the parable received something, even if it's only one bag of gold. No one was left empty-handed, meaning that God did not create you or anyone with no talent or skill. If you think, I don't know what gifts or talents or abilities I have or don't know where I can serve, like talk to a pastor. Or better yet, sign up for Zoe. The Zoe course has been very helpful for some of our people who've already taken it to really discover what the strengths are and know how to utilize them in the church or out of church context. You can talk to Elise after service for that one. But talent is a gift for kingdom impact, not to waste. The last point is treasures. Treasures means stewarding resources generously. Now, in this parable, you know, the resource happens to be money, the bag of coins. But in reality, you know, talking about money really just simplifies things, but it can really extend beyond money. Okay, resources can refer to things that you own, materialistic things, or people in your network, you know, your contacts or relationships. People and companies you have influence over. Either way, you know, what we see in this parable is that the faithful servant took these treasures, invested in them, and produced more, whereas the unfaithful servant hoarded out of fear. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 7, it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, normally when you hear this verse, it really like It's usually used in the context of offering. And usually we focus really in the last three or five words. God loves a cheerful giver. But if you continue reading this passage, you will reach verse 11, where it says, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. See, I believe a God-defined generosity is where you are given more so that you can be more generous. The more that we are generous, the more we will receive from God so that we can be even more generous. And it is this generosity that gives thanksgiving to God. See, God is calling us to steward what we have well. And steward means that the treasures we have, you know, the money, the connections, relationships, the contacts, all of these resources are not ours, but rather they belong to God. I believe that's what Deuteronomy chapter 10 talks about. We're not going to read it, but you know, it talks about where everything under heavens and on earth, everything in it belongs to God. So if these resources and treasures that we hold are from God, then they are meant to be used generously. Not to keep for ourselves, not to be wasteful, or use on meaningless things, but to steward well. Treasure is a gift to be stewarded well, not to waste. As many of you guys would know, in case those that don't know, I run a nonprofit where we run children's summer day camps. We partner with churches in the city with underutilized facilities and lack of resources to reach the community. So we're like a bridge with the church and the community. And this year has been an interesting year for my summer day camps. You know, I had this opportunity to mentor a couple of my veteran non-Christian staff. And through these conversations, I was able to, you know, really incorporate my values and beliefs, or share my values and beliefs, and how, you know, they influence how I lead. For example, I had this lengthy conversation about budgets. I didn't expect to have a conversation with budgets with a 20-year-old, but we did. And one of them was asking me, you know, how to do budgets. And I had mentioned how budgets really should reflect the values and priorities of the organization or of the leader. And so with my day camps, there's always one non-negotiable. Okay, if we ever run short of money or if we're predicting a deficit, there's one thing that I would never cut the budget, or two things. I will never cut the budget that will affect the culture of the team. I will never cut the budget that will affect the children's programs. You know, we might carefully watch our spending. We might get creative to stay in the budget, but we would never cut the dollar amount mid-year. Why? Because the team matters. Because the kids matters, the families matters, because people matters. And I want to believe that it's that decisions like that reflects good stewardship. You know, stewarding treasures in a meaningful, kingdom-focused manner, which leads to God giving more and more so that I can continually be generous. I had another leader ask me, you know, why did I choose to go nonprofit? You know, why did I choose to go profit so I can make more money, you know, I can pocket more money, and it was this conversation that I brought my beliefs in. And I explained to him how I wasn't doing this for money, but rather doing this to see transformation in children, in families, and the people that work for me. We've been running our day camp programs for 8 years now. Now, we only run 2 months in the year, you know, July and August is only summer camp. So effectively, we've only had 16 months of activities. But in those 16 months, we have generated and spent $1.6 million. or through the lens of this parable, through the lens of God, that's $1.6 million of kingdom impact in only 16 months. If I were to take any other 16 months in my life, I promise you I would not have done $1.6 million worth of ministry work or opportunities. But this happens because of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 to 11. You know, as you become more generous, God will provide even more so you can be more generous in all areas. So take a look at the resources that you have. Again, yes, money, but not just money. You know, it could be other materialistic things, could be your connections, could be contacts. How can you steward them better? How can you ensure that they are not going to waste, but will be used for the kingdom of God, will be used for kingdom impact? How can you ensure that you don't hoard or keep more money than you or more resources that you need? How can you ensure that you only keep what you need and generously allow the rest to be used to bless or serve others? Now imagine God taking your generosity and increasing it 10 times, 20 times, 50 times. You know, when I was younger, the parable of the bad coins actually scared me. I was afraid of this parable. I was so focused on the negatives. You know, For a while, I remind myself daily that I do not ever want to stand before God at the end times and for him to call me you wicked and lazy servant. And so I will work above and beyond. I over-involved myself with ministry-related things. I may have even started doing things that I really didn't like because of the fear of being called by God a wicked and lazy servant. You know, I couldn't say no. I didn't want to say no. But during that time, I also struggled to understand why the servants of two bags received just as much praise as a servant with five bags. And it wasn't until I realized that it was never about the amount. Sometimes we focus so much on the quantity and the belief that more is better. It consumes us to work harder, to do more. But when I shifted my understanding, or shifted my view from you wicked and lazy servant to well done, good and faithful servant, that I realized that this is just a system of accountability and reward. Not reward as in receiving something extravagant for me to enjoy, but the reward of receiving more from God to give away. The joy isn't found in the materialistic things, in material reward for self-enjoyment, but it's found in how God will keep providing more and more so that we can be more and more generous towards internal matters, matters with kingdom impact. So as we head into time of response, I ask you to reflect, which of these three is hitting home with you right now? Time, talents, treasures. What is God asking you to be intentionally generous with? But I also understand that there may be people here that's also struggling with other things that make it hard to be intentionally generous. You know, we minister to you this morning as well. And so in a moment, we're going to head into our response song. But if you need prayer, our pastoral team is available. We're going to pray for you, whether it be about today's topic or anything else. But as you're worshiping, as you're praying, I just challenge you to what you may have heard today. So if you can stand with me and just let me pray for us. Father, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for this parable, Lord, that we may have heard a million times. But Lord, it is so relevant now. For home church, for the story, for our story of sharing hope. And so, God, I just pray that you would just speak to us. Show us how we can be more generous, not just out of convenience, but to be intentionally generous to share your story, the story of hope, to the people who need to hear it. So we thank you, O Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen.